Greetings, everyone. This is for your elevation. This is a special missive that we publish for clients and friends of TSG only. And this time, we'll be sharing with you some insights regarding the latest Gallup ratings regarding ethics among various professions. You know, what does that have to do with advocacy, and what does that mean for advocacy leaders? Well, when Dr. Rhodes and I conduct CQ audits, CQ means credibility quotient audits, or we conduct workshops on credibility, of course, you know, honesty and ethics are a critical feature of credibility. However, it's one element of many aspects of credibility, but that's another show. What I found very interesting about Gallup's latest findings is that five professions have reached record lows for their profession, not necessarily representing the bottom of the barrel of all Gallup ratings, but regarding their profession, they have received the lowest ratings ever. I'll share those with you. Members of Congress, 6% rate of the public rate members of Congress as ethical. U.S. senators, and they did split that out between members of Congress and U.S. senators, at 8%, and I was intrigued that they did that. Maybe they were hoping that one chamber would be rated vastly more ethical and they could have some content based on that, which would be interesting, but they're pretty close. Journalists, 19% view them as ethical. Clergy, 32% of the public views them as having high honesty and ethics. And pharmacists, very interesting. Still above 50%, 55% of the public views them as having high ethics and honesty in their profession. So this tells us a couple things. I'm going to share with you, we're going to read between the lines and then what those implications are for you as an advocacy professional. Historically, when we look at Gallup's data and other surveys that rank the honesty of various professions, it shows that, not surprisingly, the professions cited as least ethical have something in common. They are generally paid to influence. For example, the bottom four in this year's Gallup rankings are advertising professionals, car salespeople, U.S. senators, and members of Congress. Now, there is a philosophical debate on whether elected officials are elected to lead, which is influence, or are they to be influenced by their constituents? Are they to be followers? That's a whole nother show as well. But by the rankings, the public doesn't like how they behave regardless. So what we see happening is the honesty and the ethics being rated lower, thus credibility diminishing and cratering among journalists. I would say clergy to a degree, and that 32%, that's sad, very sad. And that's mainly due, I believe, to large mega churches that have had scandals with their pastors in the large mega churches. But the journalists, clergy, and even the pharmacists is showing a backlash, because what's happening is they are expected to be objective. I mean, journalists are expected to be objective. Pharmacists are expected to be science-based. Clergy is expected to cling to one particular truth. And now the public perceives them as getting into, at least for the pharmacists, I believe, and the journalists, I think the clergy has just screwed up in several ways, but nevertheless, the pharmacists and the journalists have gone away from their main calling. And yes, we have an ameism from Kelton that he wrote several years ago that reinforces this truth. This is number 73 on influence tactics. Quote, "A recognized manipulative influence tactic is a failed influence tactic," unquote. People perceive that journalists are trying to influence them when they want them to be objective. People are perceiving that pharmacists, and I think this has to do with COVID, definitely are behaving differently as a result of COVID. Their ratings may go back up, but there's an expectation. They're violating the expectation. It's not surprising to me, like we said, that advertising executives and car salespeople and so forth are at the bottom of that list. But to see these professions in there that ostensibly aren't paid to influence, a pharmacist isn't paid to influence necessarily, journalists should not be, but we all know that's gone off the proverbial rails, to use an overused cliche. So that's one thing to think about, is what's the expectation of the people I lead in terms of their public persona and how they engage with the public. But wait, there's more. At the very bottom of the list, so I shared a few at the bottom of the list. Let's go to the last seven, it looks like. Business executives, 12% view them as ethical. Now, that's interesting to me. That was at about 20% in 2019. And, you know, I thought everyone wanted them to take on the world's social problems. I thought everybody wanted to look to them to solve social issues. Wasn't that what we all agreed to? I didn't. But wasn't that what we all agreed to years ago? Is that, employees want their business leaders to speak out on social issues, and we want to know their values and so forth. So that's intriguing. Does that mean that we don't care that they don't have ethics and we're going to follow them anyways? That's not a great path to be on. Next, insurance salespeople, 12%. Again, paid to influence. Stockbrokers, 12% approval. Paid to influence a little bit. People perceive them acting in their own interest. Our advertising friends, 8% view them as honest and ethical. The car folks, 8%. Senators, 8%. Members of Congress, 6%, as we said earlier. So here's the bottom line for you. A couple things. Number one, the challenge is for you to position your advocate messengers and their messengers as objectively as possible, while correcting and refuting spurious information when necessary. But watch the calling of the profession and how that does or doesn't lend itself to very overt influence. Number two, refrain from announcing your influence campaigns. Please, I beg of you. People recoil when they know they are being actively influenced, actively sold on something. As the Amyism, as Kelton said, in the Amyism, when we recognize it, when it's manipulative, it fails. Number three, please do not use the negative and frankly stupid tactics of intimidation, threats, and shadow banning people who disagree with you. If you have credible evidence for your position, you shouldn't be afraid of engaging others in a dialogue without resorting to these non-thinking tactics. I mention this simply because of the decrease in the perceived honesty and ethics of medical professionals. The only ones that have stayed relatively the same are nurses in the Gallup research. Medical doctors are down. They're not as low as the pharmacists or as low as they they're not at a low for their profession like the pharmacists are. That's why we called them out. But you need to provide cogent arguments for your position. When you are influencing others, you need to appear as much as possible that you're providing valuable information to them, being willing to engage in a dialogue, and certainly, as I mentioned a moment ago, not threatening, dismissing, or trying to discredit people who disagree with you. Now that you know, proceed accordingly. If you need to improve your organization's CQ, your organizational communications, or your leaders or volunteers' personal credibility quotient, contact us to learn more about those audits and or workshop options. This is Amy for your elevation.